You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for being here. I'm Mary Ann McCarty, and it's a joy to work as the leader of the youth here, along with a great team. I'm going to say a prayer as we get started, and then John Mark is going to moderate a discussion about what the students encountered in the church in Japan. So they'll introduce themselves and we'll get to hear from them what they've learned, with the goal not only to share what they've seen, but also to help you all know who didn't get to be there how to pray for the church as an example. So join with me as we pray. Almighty God, you are the God of the nations. You're the God of each of us. Thank you for the resurrection of your Son that unites us with you and with all the believers in all the world across the centuries. We thank you that we will join with the crowd of nations proclaiming your name for all eternity. We look forward to that day. I thank you so much for these students and the work that you did in them as they traveled to Japan. I pray that you'd be with us now, speak through them, give them great joy in remembering what they've seen and how that's impacted their lives. And Lord, even now we lift up our brothers and sisters who are worshiping your name this morning in Japan. In the days to come, that you strengthen them in all the ways that they need. We love you and we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, thank you guys for coming. Thank you guys for coming.
That's tough.
Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you guys for coming. Thank you for praying. We had a blast in Japan. We got to take 8 students. We had 3 leaders going. We hung out with Cody and Rachel, who are missionaries there, and just got to spend time with them and learn from them. We've got some questions that we want to go over with the students as they reflect on the trip. Some of them are going to be a little lighter, and some of them are going to be a little deeper that they've thought through and prepared responses for. So I'm excited to hear what they've reflected on, what they have to say. I'm excited that we get to share that with you guys. Let's just start. Hey, as I ask you guys the first question, just say your name first, and then we'll get going. So our first question is, what was your favorite food you ate? You can start with Mary Baines.
Okay. I'm Mary Baines.
Sorry, Thomas.
I'm Mary Baines, and my favorite food that I ate was the Japanese curry.
I'm Adeline, and my favorite food that I ate was dumplings.
I'm Piper, and my favorite food was also the curry, or we had really good fried squid.
I'm Alice, and I had this really good soup on like the first day. I can marry about sushi. I had 2 bowls of it. It was really good. It's awesome.
I'm Mary Florence, and my favorite food was the soup dumplings.
Hey, I'm not one of the students, but the Wagyu steak was probably my favorite. Both actually made by Isaac and also at the Tokyo Cherry Blossom Festival. Equally good.
I'm Francis, and my favorite food was probably Japanese curry or ramen.
I'm Isaac, and my favorite food was the Wagyu steak at the Cherry Blossom Festival.
I'm Thomas, and I also really like the steak at the festival. But I also had these, like, 2 pancakes with butter and syrup in between them at the convenience store, and it was really good.
Yeah, me and Thomas both really liked this. Okay, Thomas, you can start this time. Question 2, what was your favorite experience?
Probably going to the baseball game at the last night. It was really cool. We got to be in the middle of the crowd, and they were all just kind of crazy the whole time. And the team we were cheering for ended up winning, so it was really cool.
I'd also have to say the baseball game. At one point, they hit a home run, and just everyone was like going nuts. It was really cool to see.
Mine was probably also a baseball game, because it was a lot like American football. Like, not this actual sport, but, like, they're cheering for it.
I would have to say the visit to Narita with Fred, when we visited the ancient Narita-san temple. beautiful garden in the back. So that'd be my answer.
I really liked going to Shibuya and doing the Shibuya shift and seeing the, like, bigger city.
I really liked the walk behind the temple. There wasn't a lot of green in Tokyo, and so, because it's obviously a big city, but, so that was really good, just, like, be in nature, and it was beautiful. It was really fun.
My favorite part was probably the zoo. Punch the Monkey is there, and we got to see him, or we think we saw him, we couldn't really tell, but the zoo was awesome because of all the different animals that were there, and also the temple. The temple was really cool.
My favorite was the temple in Narita, and, like, seeing the more, like, rural side of Japan, and not just, like, the city, and then the gardens and, like, walk behind it was really cool.
I also really enjoyed seeing the gardens behind the temple. It was just really pretty and, like, peaceful.
Oh, my favorite experience was being here with my friends. They were amazing.
Okay, for our next question, we have, what was your favorite thing you bought?
Oh. My favorite thing I bought was this, like, ninja star. Because we found a knife shop when we were in Narita. And, yeah, it was really cool.
I bought this, like, fan from this, like, government overlook. We, like, got to observe the whole city, and they had, like, this gift shop there.
I bought, we went to the store, and they had a bunch of really cool plates, and so I bought a few plates that I can take to college next year, and I'm really excited.
I got me and my dad ninja stars, so I was really excited. My mom was really excited about that. And then I also got a clock lip. That's really pretty.
I bought a lot of clock lips, which I really like, because I can use them, like, every day.
I'm not sure if this counts, but I'd have to say the Wagyu steak again.
35.
My favorite thing was a Japanese, like, cutting knife. It was stainless steel. It was really sick.
I got some cool shirts that I really liked. And also some ninja stars.
Okay, so we'll go on to our first bigger question. Now I've got Thomas, Adeline, and Mary Baines answering this one. Okay, so reflecting on the stories and testimonies of the missionary, or the missionaries we met and spent time with, which is Cody, Rachel, Fred, what were some of the things they said or stories they told that really impacted you and continue to linger, like, in your headspace?
I'll start. When we went to Narita, like they were saying, we met this missionary named Fred, who had been there for 37 years. And we went to his house to, because he's starting a church in his house with, like, him and this teacher who he calls his sensei, who's like 80 something years old, who's just a Japanese native Christian who doesn't speak English, and then a couple other people. And while we were there, I think just that whole experience of seeing a like a church trying to get started, trying to, like, plant its roots, was really cool. And the last thing that we heard from the sensei, the teacher, was see you in heaven. And I thought that was pretty impactful for me, because there are Christians all around the globe who, like, speak completely different languages, who will never know, who are in a completely different situation from us, with a church that just has, like, four people in it. And but we'll all be together in heaven one day. And I think that was just the thing I remember the most from that.
Thanks, Thomas.
Yeah. I really liked Rachel and Cody's testimonies. They both kind of had really different ones. Like, Cody's was much more like, I grew up going to youth group and that really brought me to God. But Rachel's was more, she had a really hard home life and she struggled with that for a while and then somehow was just led to God, and I think it's really impactful how, like, there's everybody has such different stories, and those can be used to teach other people or encourage other people to start going to youth group or church or find people with like your similar values and belief, and they can just like all be so different but impactful in their own way.
Fred's testimony was very powerful too, because he was like in rehab and he just happened to pick up a Bible that was on his desk and read it, and that's when he became a Christian. And that can like seem like a coincidence, I guess, but it was really like the Holy Spirit like leading him to God. And that also makes me think about, you know, the people of Japan who might not have like a Bible on their bedside table, but like they might have the Holy Spirit kind of nudging them towards God, and like how, what that would look like in a different culture.
Yes, thank you. So for the next question, Mary, Florence, Adeline, and Isaac, this question too. How did you guys experience spending time with Rachel and Cody? And was there anything compelling about them? Was there anything confusing about them? How did you come to experience and understand their heart for missions?
Spending time with them was great. They gave us a lot of insight to like how to navigate Japan, of course. But they also told us stories about like when they were missionaries in Africa and how they've done so many like contrasting things, and how in Africa everybody's so social and just so talkative, and then in Japan it's so different and everybody's kind of reserved. And just hearing all their different experiences in different countries being missionaries was really cool and I guess impactful to hear what culture's like everywhere else and how to navigate that when you're trying to spread Christianity. And then they were also just really fun to be around and taught us a lot about Japan and like the culture there and how like what they've done there to start planting seeds and the people around them.
Yeah, I really liked spending time with Cody and Rachel. They led us in Bible study every day, and I really liked that. Cody was a teacher, and it kind of showed, like, when we were doing Bible study, like, he was really good about sharing, like, when we were just working through stuff, he was very good about, like, getting everyone involved and making sure, like, everyone understood. And also, they were really good about sharing, like, the different culture of Japan, because it's a pretty big culture shock if you went in there and didn't know anything. And they were really good about sharing the different ways that we might have to adapt. Like, on the train, you don't talk. So kind of, like, sharing things like that. And then also sharing that from, like, the missionary side of how they have to adjust what they do to also fit the Japanese culture. So I thought that was really cool.
The biggest thing that stuck out to me about Cody and Rachel is their willingness just to do anything with us, just to kind of, like, down to clown with whatever we were about to go do, and that just like that like showed like through their testimonies, like going to Africa, completely new culture, knew nothing about like their language or how those people acted, and just hearing how they knit themselves into that community so quickly, and that was just like the like something that was really like strong. Just how they're able to like do anything anywhere, no matter the circumstances.
Yeah, they were cool. Mary Florence, so we had the opportunity to do Bible studies with them every day, and they were just so good at asking questions and listening, and they were leading us through scripture, but they weren't saying a lot, and it was really impressive, and I feel like I learned a lot just watching them teach, you know. And so it was a really special experience to be there with them, learning that. Okay, next question is for Alice and Piper and Thomas. Okay, how would you describe the internal versus the external state of the Japanese people? An example is externally happy and smiling, internally kind of isolated, tends to be the case. What were some of the things you learned from Cody and Rachel that informed us, or the other things we did, and what were some of the things you observed while traveling and interacting with the locals that also informed us?
would say the external state is, like, when we would just walk around or be on a train, it's just the people there are so, like, key to themselves and isolated. And I think that that's why it's so hard to minister to them and reach to them, is because they're all about, like, the word culture and keeping their public appearance up, and they don't really like to show emotions. So I think that's a large part of why it's just, I mean, people there are unreached, and why there's the percentage of Christians there is so low. And so what we kind of tried to do was just plant seeds for them and like be examples of, like, of Christ and his love. And because I think when you do talk to them, then you see more of, like, their real selves, and they're very nice on the inside. And when we went to the baseball game, we saw a completely different side of them. They were all just yelling, cheering, singing together, and it was just really interesting to see a completely different side of them.
Yeah, like he was saying, it's so different. Like, just walking around, you can see how different it is, because here, like, you wave and smile at people you don't know walking down the street and cars passing. But there, it's like they keep to themselves and they're busy and they're focused on whatever they're doing. The trains are completely silent. The only people that were talking or whispering were probably us. And it was weird to see that they don't, it's making friends there seems really hard, which I think adds to this kind of lack of community that you feel sometimes until you get to a point or, like, a club or a church or something that brings people together. There's only really times that we felt that big community and stuff. But, like, just walking around, you really only saw kids in groups talking and laughing. Other than that, if they were working age, graduating college, they kept to themselves and they were focused on what they needed to do that day. So I think that was a big thing that we prayed for a lot, was just that they could have peace and knowing that they can slow down and just, like, find people around them that are similar to them, and they can, like, make friends in the community. Because we all need that. We're all humans and we're social people, and so being alone must be really, really hard, and that was something that was really weird to see, because it's, especially in the South, it's so different here.
Yeah, like they've been saying, the Japanese culture is very much, like, working, you're constantly working. I think the biggest shock was on Sundays when the trains were just as busy as ever. They were working all the time. And then, like, they're on the trains 24/7, but they're not socializing. They're not talking to anyone. And I feel like that's a huge chunk of their life, and they're not even socializing. But, yeah, it's a very beautiful place, but it's also kind of sad in the aspect of they don't have that kind of community where you go to church on Sundays and you talk to everyone, you go to school and you talk to everyone, and you're walking down the street. And just constantly being social. So I think that was the hardest thing to see, especially in, like, the aspect of, like, loving others. I can't imagine, like, not being able to communicate with other people, and, like, I don't know, I feel the love of others through talking to people every day, and I just think it's such a, I don't know, it's just completely opposite from here, but.
Yeah, and something Rachel told us, one of the stories she told us was she was meeting with a younger Japanese woman, and she was like, hey, do you want to hang out next week? And the lady across from her just started crying, and she was like, why are you crying? She was like, no one's ever wanted to hang out with me that much. Like, that was just a week apart was, like, not normal for the way that they interact socially. It'd be a lot more normal to hang out once a month for, like, an hour. So even for Cody and Rachel, that dynamic was difficult as they were trying to create friendships and community. Hang out once a month for an hour, it's not a ton. So yeah, we saw that in a lot of different places. Mary, Florence, Mary Baines, and Francis, this question's for you guys. What did you learn about their own faith in contrast to what you saw at the Buddhist temple that we traveled to?
One thing that really stood out to me when we were at the Buddhist temple was, like, everyone was really, like, isolated and, like, by themselves. And I feel like that's a lot different from, like, being a Christian. Like, when we come to church, we all have, like, fellowship with each other and talk to each other. But everyone was kind of, like, by themselves or, like, in a group of, like, two or three. And it was also kind of, like, it felt like they were really just, like, going through the motions of their religion rather than, like, worshiping. And, like, in Christianity, we all have kind of, like, a relationship with God, and it felt more just, like, they were, like, going through the motions, and, like, you would, like, buy something to, like, get, like, blessings or whatever, and you had to, like, do certain things, so it's, yeah, it was very different than at church.
Kind of the same thing with the temple. It felt, like, pretty empty. Like, they would kind of just go up, you, like, went to the top, and there was, like, this box where you could, like, throw a coin in. They kind of just, like, went up, threw their coin in, and bowed and left. Like, I noticed as we were walking around, we were there for probably, like, at least, like, an hour, maybe two, and a lot of the other people just kind of, like, go up, like, do, like, throw their coin in, bow, and then leave. Like, they weren't really, like, walking around or, like, taking it in. And it just felt kind of empty, like, again, like, kind of what Mary Baines was saying, like, they just kind of, like, checking a box and moving on, which I felt like, I don't know, I just felt like it kind of, like, took away from the experience. Or not really, but, like, it was just different than how, like, coming to a church would have been, because it just felt really empty.
Kind of what they were saying, so with Christianity, I feel like it's more of having that personal relationship with God while in at the temple. It was more like go in and go out, do what you need to do. And then the other thing is definitely the people there were just alone. Like, I never saw many people going there together, and which is completely different from church because we all have this great community. And then also something that we learned was that the temple that we went to was more like a touristy attraction for everyone, like even the Japanese people, which I thought that was really interesting. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and one thing, when you go in, it's just these giant buildings, like these huge temples, Buddhist temples, and it's really beautiful Japanese architecture. And you kind of like, you kind of expect there to be something going on inside, and you go inside them, and they're just like empty. And it just was like an interesting picture almost of what we experienced there and the faith that we experienced there and the different religious traditions. So, yeah, thank you guys. Okay, the next one is for Alice, Francis, and Isaac. Now that you've been to Japan, how does it change how you'll pray for them moving forward? And how does it change how you pray for missions there moving forward?
So while we were there, as everyone's kind of said, they all like seem very isolated. But like one way that they like kind of get together is like through like clubs and like signing up for like events. And I just hope that they like through like clubs and events. Like we helped Cody and Rachel with an English club, and I just hope like through that talking to Cody and Rachel and other Christians that go to that club, that they just, like, find, like they just, like, find, like, keep trying to get a word, kind of discover Christ and his goodness through Cody and Rachel and through other activities, and that they see that through their day-to-day life.
I have to say, before I went to Japan, I was praying for them more of, like, as a whole, and not, like, because I hadn't made those personal connections, and I hadn't seen it in real life, so, like, when after, now that I've been to Japan, now I can, I have seen the place, like I know what I need to pray for them, so definitely community, like Isaac was saying with the English club, and just praying for the people, like, for faith and discovering Jesus, so.
I kind of touched on this earlier, but before we were praying for, like, Cody and Rachel to spread that seed, which can be, now that we went, we see it's, like, really hard in Japan because you can't just talk to people about what you want to talk to them about. You have to form that relationship, and even doing that takes a lot of time because they just don't spend time with each other as much as we do. And so now, after we got back, I feel like I've been praying more for them to be able to form quicker relationships with those people that they want to reach Jesus, and so they can spread his peace in this community that we know and we love, but sometimes take for granted because we feel it all the time, they don't. And so I think that's, and then for missionaries, I didn't realize, so Cody and Rachel, on like the last day, they were thanking us for coming and everything, and they said something that kind of stuck out to me. They said that we have felt so lonely here, and then seeing y'all in the community that you have with each other and that shared relationship that you have with Christ that we also share with you was refreshing to see that, like, we're not alone. Because they felt so alone in their experiences with Jesus and stuff, and, like, their church is growing, but it's so hard to have that, feel that community with people that you're trying to reach out to. And so I thought that was cool, and I never realized that, like, praying for, like, refreshment and, like, for those missionaries, because you think that they're, like, always, let's go, like, Jesus, like, all this stuff, but it's, if you're in a society that it's so hard to, like, make that movement and spread that love and faith with people, then it can get really hard to continue on, and I think that was something that we needed to pray for after, because I realized, like, how hard that would be with, it's just them two until they go and talk to other missionaries, or, like, we come, and then they end up, they're just going through their day-to-day life, and it's so hard to, like, make that, put that foot forward again and again, so.
Yeah, they definitely, a lot of prayer for community. It's kind of a main theme in Japan, but also for Cody and Rachel. Just not a lot of deep community there. And it does make a big impact. So, yeah. And then your last question for Piper. It feels targeted. It's not. She chose this one. It was optional. Okay, so did anyone sense to call the missions on this trip? Are any of you more intrigued about missions than before? If so, why? What about the trip moved you in that way? How has that sat with you since returning, yeah?
Okay, I kind of, like, interpreted this question as, like, not necessarily, like, I'm going on a mission, but, like, it just really changed my perspective on, like, the importance of missions and just getting out in the world, because I didn't realize there's entire countries out there where 95% of the countries, I mean, they don't even know who Jesus is, what Christianity is, or they have, like, a cultural perception of what Christianity is from whatever their neighboring countries are. But I definitely think if I ever get the opportunity to go on another mission trip, I definitely will take it. Fred said something one day, and it was like, your door is always open, but if there's a reason that it should be, like, something like that. It was like, your door is always open.
Go, but be willing to stay.
Go, but be willing to stay.
Like, don't be willing to go and, like,
and don't wait for the door to be open. God already opened it for you.
Yeah,
something like that.
And that really stuck out to me, especially just, like, seeing Fred be this big, like, bubbly guy, American, in such like small Japanese towns where they've probably never seen an American before, and just go up and hug these store owners and just be the light of God in a place where, like, I mean, they have no idea for the most part who Jesus is. And so that just really changed my perspective on the importance of mission and just like, I mean, like being fishers of men and like going out. I also asked my mom about this question this morning, and she was like, well, your mission is like your day-to-day life. Just even if you're not going to another country, just like talking, how you are to the people that you're around every single day, that's your mission, just loving others. And it doesn't have to be this big thing of going to Japan, going to Africa. It's just being the image of God every single day. That's how I took that question.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, thank you. We have 5 minutes, right? Does anyone have anything they'd like to say, or any additional comments or thoughts? No pressure. Ben, did you want to add anything?
I'd be glad to. it was, and I know this is something you're supposed to say in Christian circles, that it was, you know, joy and peace radiated, and that can just sound like kind of trite sort of talk, but I mean, I really felt God's joy and peace, that I haven't felt that sense of joy kind of in daily life in some time, so I think it's remarkable what we got to do. It's really, I'd like to thank all of you for being so generous in your prayers. I even felt that at times, you know, I was very grateful on the plane ride back to think about what the cloud of witnesses, you know, that was supporting us. And that was very moving. So thank you.
Yeah.
One thing that I felt like was just like noticeable is like when we would be out and about just like going through like towns or whatever, it was kind of empty and you kind of feel the isolation, but then the second we would get to like do our Bible study as a group or go to a church there, you just feel so much community with even just each other, which I guess we do take for granted here when, like, you can easily go to church every Sunday and stuff. But being in a place where, like, it's rarer to feel that community just felt really powerful and cool.
Like she was saying, like, we went to a church the first day, or like the first real day we had, and it was the room, it was the church was basically in like an office building in a room, and it was like a third of the size of this room, maybe, like probably less than my goodness, measurements. But everyone in there knew each other, obviously, because it was a small church, and you could feel like they all knew a lot about each other. And they cared very deeply, like, about each other. These girls went up and they were like, we have a play coming up and we want you all to go. And then everyone was like, okay, like, we'll go to your play because, like, we're Christians and, like, I will support you in what you're doing. And that was cool because on the outside, it's like you can see Japan and you can feel kind of that lack of community in day-to-day life, but there are, it's not that there's lack of want for community. Because when we found that community, it was so strong and pure, and you could feel Christ moving within it because the love that they had for each other, and then for us coming in, they immediately, like, I know John Mark and Marianne and Ben were talking to like grown-ups, but the kids all came and like swarmed all of us, and we shared like Instagrams, and we all still talk to some of the girls, and it's, it was really cool. They didn't just be like, oh, these people are not normally here. Let's just like let them do their thing and maybe they'll leave. But they wanted to talk to us, and we were there for a while after. And it felt like how inclement time is when we talk forever. And sometimes I just like, I want to be like, Dad, come on, let's go. But it was a good reminder to see, like, that's good, and building that community is good. That was really
fun
to see. Sorry, Dad.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, kind of building off what Ben said too. We got off the plane, and we'd been together all week, and we did everything together. I mean, we were like you know, sleeping in lofts together. It was just crazy, right? So we lived an entire week together, like zero alone time. And you get off the plane and you're like suddenly alone again. And it was just like, we're talking about the community so much. It's just a moment that's like, man, like we have really special community here too. But there is like, there's a lot of space for, I mean, going deeper in our own community too. Just learning like how important that is and feeling that on a trip with you guys was like super cool for me, and I really appreciated that. So I feel like we all learned a lot, and I was really appreciative to spend the time with you guys, and very appreciative of Marianne for all the time she spent putting this together, Ben taking a week of work off. So we thank you guys. That's all we have. Thank you for coming. Thank you guys.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.